Christy Evans, head of Grooteski Hospital, joins us, or Grooteski Hospital Trust, joins us on the line. And we're going to be chatting about Grooteski Hospital rolling out a groundbreaking gender-based violence screening intervention. Intimate partner violence affects countless women in South Africa, and of course children as well are impacted. So they are introducing universal screening and improving understanding of the condition one critical way staff can help to tackle the issue among the women that Grooteski Hospital serves. So I guess the way in which GBV presents itself at a hospital is a dead giveaway. And maybe just that's a very important contact point where the necessary responses to the scourge can flow from, if you know what I mean. So they've rolled out an anonymous universal routine screening for intimate partner violence at various sites across the hospital. And at the same time, they have upskilled their healthcare workers to ensure detection, support and referrals for those patients experiencing this in their lives. Christy Evans is the head of Grooteski Hospital Trust, and we welcome her on the line. Welcome, Christy. Great to have you.
Hi, Clarence. Thanks so much for having me.
I was thinking out loud that the way it presents itself at a hospital is probably a dead giveaway. I'm talking about GBV.
Oh, well, I think some people would think that. However, IPV prevents in ways that you would never really be able to detect.
Sure.
I mean, it's not always physical.
It's not always physical,
No, so I mean, that's why we rolled out the screening tool, because a lot of the questions ask about psychological abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse.
But you wouldn't be dealing with some of that abuse at the hospital level, would you?
Say that again?
You wouldn't be dealing with, let's call it, emotional abuse or financial abuse at hospital level, or would you?
So we would screen, and if someone came up positive as experiencing abuse, then they would be offered a referral service, which means they would be offered on-site counseling by one of our social workers, who would then refer out to external stakeholders if people needed help.
Okay, and just tell us about that process after such detection.
So if someone is detected as experiencing violence at home, then they would be asked if they would like help. So some people opt for help and some people don't, for varying reasons. And if they say that they would like help, then they're offered on-site counseling, which happens immediately. They'll go to the social worker. And then the social worker will do their normal counseling that the hospital does, but with a lens of gender-based violence. So they will know, and they will offer varying things depending on what the situation is.
Okay, so this is groundbreaking, and you refer to it as a game changer. Just take us through your reasoning on this big statement.
We think it's groundbreaking because this kind of screening tool has never been rolled out at a public hospital in South Africa. And most of the services that happen for gender-based violence happen when women or men or whoever's being abused discloses. And often that'll take years. So we're trying to roll out something that actually enables early detection and hence able to get people support far earlier than they ever would.
And what kind of support would that, what kind of form would that support take?
So as I said, they get on-site counseling, they get offered, and if they opt into that, then many external stakeholders exist within the gender-based violence ecosystem. So, for instance, they could get offered trauma counseling by NGOs, they could get offered support to get protection orders, support to do police reports, we do a lot of shelter placements. There's a lot of different support that people can get.
And not just support for the victim, but you're saying the perpetrator can also kind of be impacted by especially a restraining order.
Yeah. So if the people get a protection order, then that definitely impacts their interaction with their perpetrator. Also, if they go to services like Mosaic, which is an NGO that has expertise in gender-based violence, and if people do court orders, then they usually do counseling with the victim and perpetrator if the protection order is in place.
In our very many conversations on this particular topic, we often find that women are not ready to deal with the issues effectively. Yes. But the counseling is part of the process of getting them there, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that we really just try, as healthcare workers, we want our workers to be safe healthcare workers, which means trauma-informed and And so they're not avoiding asking questions. So with our healthcare worker training, we're trying to enable people to identify signs of GBV and then be able to ask questions to the patients that are not invasive but aren't ignoring the fact that they're suspicious that they might be experiencing abuse.
Yeah. Sometimes there are suspicions and sometimes it's just absolutely clear. And I want to get back to physical violence and the way it would present itself at our hospitals. How would you respond to that in the same way as you do with other forms of GBV?
So physical violence, I mean, there's a lot of physical violence that comes through the hospital.
Yes.
From GBV. And yeah, I mean, if a healthcare worker suspects that someone is being abused and it's physical and its manifestation is appearing physically, then they ask the question. And sometimes a no is the first answer, and then we ask another question, and eventually it comes out. But basically, it's not up to us to push people into getting help. We have to offer them the information and the fact that we care, and it's up to people to have their own journeys in terms of their healing.
Does it remain the prerogative of the victim to lay a charge?
Okay, I'm not an expert in the legal system, but I think it's usually up to the victim.
Yeah, so you couldn't lay a charge on their behalf with such evidence at hand.
Well, and remember, we're the adult hospital. We're not the children's hospital, so that's a different can of worms when you deal with children.
So let's, in order for this project to work, you will need, of course, to train lots of healthcare workers to nearly intuitively understand the issues. Tell us about that training regime.
So our training regime was rolled out in September, and we basically worked with our wellness department at the hospital and Mosaic to create the training program, and it's an hour and a half training. Healthcare workers who are patients, healthcare workers who are dealing with patients directly on a daily basis. And we basically just go through the sort of context.
Christy Evans is the head of Groote Schuur Hospitals Trust. We're talking about a game changer in preventing GBV. Unfortunately, that line has come just a little undone. So we're going to try and get a better line. It's an important conversation to have. And of course, our focus will be for the next 16 days. So expect lots of conversation on this topic. And of course, if you want to wade in, you can WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. You can call on 021-446-0567. We've lost the line. We're going to try and get her back in a short while. Okay, we've managed to reestablish the line with Christy Evans, head of Groote Schuur Hospital Trust, and we lost you. You were telling us just about the kind of training regime in place to assist healthcare workers to identify GBV amongst your clients or patients. We lost you there. Maybe you just want to repeat what you said, Christy.
Sure. Sorry about that. Yeah, I lost you. So we rolled out training in the big December, and it's 1 week, and it's at a lunch hour, an hour and a half training for our patient-facing staff. We advertise to all our staff members. There's about 3,500 at the hospital. And it really serves Mosaic, who I mentioned before, who's one of the big training organizations for gender-based violence in the country, and the Trust, so we talk about the intervention at the hospital, and Mosaic really gives context of gender-based violence in South Africa, and specifically Cape Town, where we're located. And we basically go through the context, what the stats are, and why people should care, and then what to do about it once we care about it. Enabling people to detect, going through what the signs are, and then actually how to ask the question. Because I think the stumbling block for a lot of healthcare workers and a lot of people in general is when you suspect someone, and it's not obvious, like a physical signs, but you know that something doesn't fit and you think the patient might be being hurt.
Yeah.
It's the entry points of those conversations. So
sure.
We try and do role play, like asking questions like, are you safe at home? Do you need help? Like, how is your family? As opposed to, are you being abused?
Yes.
Because that's quite jarring, you know?
It's not an interrogation.
It's not an interrogation. And healthcare workers, their jobs isn't to counsel survivors. Their job is just to make sure that everyone knows that there is help available and that there is information that they can have, and we can refer people for help.
Okay. Now, I believe this particular project was piloted a year ago during the 16 Days of Activism, and it was a major success. On what you base that major success that you're claiming?
Well, I mean, major success, I don't know if it's a success in terms of the fact that we established that there's a big prevalence of violence at the hospital, but it allowed us to confirm the fact that what our healthcare was saying to us in terms of a priority at the hospital of addressing violence. So, yeah, we screened 305 women over 8 days in a woman-centered service, and it came up that there was 10% of the women who are experiencing violence at home. And we knew that was probably underreported. So at the same time, we had put in proposals for corporates and foundations to support a pilot for a year so we could actually get special data and find them a hospital. So it was a success, but it was sad that we found out that what we suspected was true. There was a lot of our patients in the hospital.
So in that particular instance, you're talking 30 people that were on the path then to escaping this GBV that was ever present in their lives?
Well, I don't know if there was escaping. They answered yes to experiencing violence at home, and then they're off. And out of the 30 said yes to counseling.
Yeah.
We got an indication of like there would be if it was a routine service.
Yeah, I think it's pretty widespread. It's more the outcomes that I think we should be preoccupied with, and that is women not being subjected to abuse. But let's look at your trends and your stats since then, and since you've rolled out this campaign. Where are we at now?
So, I did the pilot over the 16 days last year, and then we put in proposals and eventually got some major funding from Standard Bank, major funder. Our CSI program, and a number of foundations and individual donors also gave to the program. And we were able to roll out in June of this year. And since June, we have screened over 6,000 women in the hospital. And over 800 of them have come up experiencing violence at home. Of that, 40% of them opt in for counseling. So we've counseled about 250 women. And of that, just around 100 have been referred to external stakeholders, which means police reports, protection orders, shelter placements, some request family counseling. But a lot of people opt in for social work and counseling because actually this is the first time they've ever had the opportunity to talk to anybody
about it. For sure.
Yeah.
I want to know, because it looks as if there are selective opportunities or there are selective touch points that you've created for this interaction. Where are they and will you expand them in the future?
So right now we're across 6 sites at the hospital, Critisker. Our plans for 2024 are to scale so all women patients are asked. But remember, care workers are also being trained in tandem. So our screening is quite an active process, whereas the healthcare workers, if they suspect, then they can refer into the program. So there's sort of two ways. And our plan is for at least one district hospital in 2024 to pilot to see how that works within the healthcare system. Because the intervention works by nurses who screen patients and approach them directly. So the trust employs those people through our funding, as well as extra social workers, because right now we don't want to burden our system, because our healthcare system is already very, very overrun. The staff are tired, there's budget cuts, so we pay for that in order to do the pilot. At the same time, interacting with and stakeholders, with the hopefully effective enough and low cost enough that it could eventually be scaled and taken over by government, we hope.
Yeah, I guess it's also important just to partner that victim to healing. And I'm talking about after process kind of service. Let's just call it that. Is somebody holding that victim's hands after they leave Grooteskier Hospital?
So our intervention, we refer out, as I explained, to our external stakeholders. So where our intervention ends is a week or two later, we call the stakeholder and or the victim to ensure that they got to their appointment or if they didn't. And then that's where we sort of step aside in terms of the intervention. So we know how many people arrived at our external stakeholder appointments. And from there, we have faith that our partners sort of take the process forward in terms of what is needed, because that is there. Everyone has a role in the ecosystems in terms of gender-based violence and the stakeholders. And we have a list of stakeholders in every suburb in Cape Town that we refer. And then that women get, we monitor that. And then from there, it's up to the stakeholders to do what they need to do.
So it is important for us to get victims to talk, and they are reticent for a number of reasons not to talk. And that is the start of the journey.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, there's somebody that sent us a message. What a wonderful project at Grote Skier RGBV. Well done, says Estelle in Pinelands. And I want to echo that sentiment. If you want to echo that sentiment, you're welcome via WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. If you want to inquire more about this groundbreaking gender-based violence screening intervention, you're welcome via WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. And you can also call and interact directly with Christy Evans, who's the head of Grote Skier Hospital Trust, on 021-446-0567. The pilot was a success, clearly, with 5,838 women patients having been screened since the pilot. It clearly looks as a tool that you have molded that can be implemented nearly as a turnkey solution and after training at other hospitals. What are the plans beyond Grote Skier?
Yeah, so our vision is scaling, and it really requires funding from partners. So we have various proposals out to do that. We want to, I mean, we're not throughout the hospital right now, so we want to actually uptake to all of our women patients in 2024, and we have our views on scaling to at least one district hospital. We're meeting next week with our team to figure out which is the best sort of course of action. But we really would like, we really believe that this intervention is a very holistic way and a very good early detection mechanism for women who are experiencing violence. So we would, ultimately we'd love to scale throughout the city, throughout the province, and throughout the country.
And it's after the fact, unfortunately. I'm wondering about preemptive strikes, and that would be identifying perpetrators before they can perpetrate. Any thoughts on that, Christy? Am I pushing the envelope?
Well, I think that in order to tackle this absolute epidemic in our country, there has to be many approaches. So people have to work with young boys and men. People have to be doing all sorts of different things. I mean, this is just one intervention. I mean, there's a lot of other interventions once women disclose, counseling, protection, shelter placements. I mean, there's a whole ecosystem. So I think that there's absolutely room for working with perpetrators, working with young men. And also, I mean, it's not just women who are getting abused. So it has to be we focus on women patients because of the stats in terms of more women being abused than men. But I think that this tool could any gender.
Yeah, Christy Evans, we appreciate your time this morning. It's a real game changer and great, I think, innovation in terms of a response there, thinking out of the box. And we all have to do that thinking out of the box. We need to speak openly, men with men, and we have to preemptively strike when we hear that from our male friends that they are capable of such things. We gotta speak out against it. But we're gonna rest the conversation there. It is 10:55. Important for women to speak. And if you are listening and you're a victim and you're afraid to speak, you've got to find somebody that you're absolutely comfortable with, that you can trust. And speaking is going to start that journey. Sometimes a very long journey to healing. Mm-hmm. But we've got to stop that. Thank you, Christy, for your time. It's appreciated.
Thanks, Clarence. I really appreciate it.